A man's life consisted not in the abundance of things that he possesses. You can't look at physical structures, material things around someone to be able to tell whether or not he's making progress. There's more to life than that. Sometimes in life, we become too familiar with spiritual things that they don't bless us anymore. We get too used to certain spiritual things that they don't make any impact in our lives anymore. In the same way that we get too familiar with certain people that they don't bless us anymore. And that's why I tell pastors, there's a level of familiarity you can have with anybody, and you must not go beyond. Any level of familiarity that breeds contempt is unacceptable, because you're going to help to destroy that person. And sometimes there are people who try to be familiar, over familiar. They speak the wrong language to you. Don't accept it. Don't accept it. It's in his interest, not because you want to show yourself to be somebody. In his own interest. Because he would destroy himself, even if you think it doesn't matter. It will destroy him. I have limits for every relationship that I keep. I cannot forget who I am. I cannot forget what I'm supposed to be doing. Sometimes even spouses make that mistake. You know, a spouse can help to destroy his or her partner. Or you can help to build and to strengthen. You choose which one you want to be. The Bible is full of examples of both sides. You have those who help to destroy, you have those who help to build. And you make a choice of the one you want to be like. If you knew how much your whole life depended on you, you'd take the word of God more seriously. Everything, it's right in your hands. To produce positive results or to become destructive is all with you. The Bible says, he hath shown thee, O man, what is required of thee. He's declared it to you. There's some of you who love to slumber. You love sleep. You love it. It's in you. Until that thing is removed from you, you cannot be successful. Because that's your problem. Some are very rebellious. Very, very rebellious. But they do not understand the definition of rebellion. They think rebellion means that you carry a placard and start shouting against the government. Rebellion is very deceptive. When rebellion creeps into your life, it is very, very deceptive. You become that man or that woman that has his own way, but you don't know. And that thing is going to be a stronghold in your life. See, it's important that you examine yourself. In life, you have to examine yourself. Examine yourself. The Bible says we should examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith. The thing you're asked to do is the one you will not do. The way you're asked to do it is the way you will not do it. Even when you're going to do it, you're going to do it your own way. That's rebellion. Rebellion is actually the rejection of authority. And it is idolatry because you set up yourself as an authority. But that was not your plan. Let's examine the situation that Saul, the king of Israel, found himself in. Saul didn't plan to be rebellious. I hope you've studied that character very well. He didn't plan to be rebellious. He offered a sacrifice not because he despised the office of the priest, but because he had been waiting. And nothing was going on. Samuel gave him an appointment, and the time had passed, and Samuel hadn't showed up. So the man went on and offered the sacrifice. Did God accept it? No. For that alone, God said, I've rejected this man from being king. What was the problem? He did it his own way. He did a good thing his own way. Be careful of your own way. Your own way. You see, what I'm sharing with you, it's the same wisdom with which you can guide the flock that is under you. There are just some people that are like that. They're just that way. They will be obedient, but their obedience is according to their own definition. Let me pick a very simple thing. You've been asked to send in your reports. Ask yourself a very simple question. Did you send the report? Did you send it when you were supposed to send it? Did you send it in the way you were supposed to send it? But you don't think anything's wrong with that. There's something terribly wrong. How far do you go with such things in your life? How far do you go? What kind of people are you going to bring up? You expect to have cell leaders. You expect to have all these things. You expect to have other leaders growing up. Then you're going to ask them, and they will not. They just be like you. So what are you going to do? Until God says the whole system over there stinks. He says from the head to the toes, they're all disobedient. And he writes that group off and they keep doing their own thing, but he doesn't consider them. That has happened to many people. It starts out from little things. See, the Bible says little foxes. Read it in the Canticles. It says, little foxes destroy the vine. There is little things here and there. What you were told to do is the one you will not do. That's the manifestation of the serpent's nature. Then the one you will do it your own way. Ask yourself, why am I like this? That is a simple question to ask yourself. Why am I like this? Why do I behave like this? Let me give you a little story. There's a gentleman I heard a little more about yesterday. In his hometown, his His family was among several other families that were asked to give up their land for a facility to be built for the community, and that they will be given relocated. Every family accepted it except this family. They refused. Everyone else moved but them. So the community leaders cursed them, and one by one they began to die, including one or both his parents. Under mysterious circumstances. So very quickly, when they saw that they were facing something bigger than them, they decided to now move. But it was late, because the community now built the facility around them, and they were the only ones in there, and they cursed them. Now this young guy from his family moved to Lagos. It turned out that we bought a piece of land where he and some others were working. And because we bought the place, we asked them to move. They didn't have an immediate alternative. They needed some money, and they were trying to get the money together. So I said, all right, how much do you need to relocate? They told us how much they needed. I gave them money to relocate. He was the only one who organized some people around him to say they're not moving after collecting the money. You see, so from my investigation of this guy, I discovered that his family members have done the same thing. His parents, his grandparents, that's where he's coming from. See, the same thing that destroyed that family has attached itself to this boy. And he had been born again. This thing had attached itself to him to destroy him too. What does he want? For me to curse him. And I've already said, if they don't leave that place, all of them, their life will go into emptiness. That is it. Something will kick them out. Now can you see the kind of life that some people live? They inherit the wrong things from their parents or grandparents or from the community or somewhere around. They just pick up these nasty things. Rebellion is a terrible thing. It's easily inherited. And the danger is, see, Satan tries to destroy that individual by bringing into his life those things he knows will provoke authority against them. Why should someone have any bad report of you that are a Christian? Why should someone think negatively about you? The Bible says it to be unprofitable for you, for your leaders to think negatively about you. It is in your interest that in remembering you, you are remembered for good. That was Ezra's prayer to God. All the time he prayed, Lord, remember me for good. He would say something that he had done and say, remember me for this, remember me for good. The Bible says that when your leaders present reports about you to God, that they should present the report with joy and not with sadness. See, you have to reprogram yourself. We were not all brought up in a way that is acceptable to God. But we have a responsibility. After the word of God has been given to us, after we have received the Holy Spirit, we have a responsibility to reprogram our lives. You look at yourself. You see certain things in you. You say, no. You say, no. I will reprogram myself. Some talk too much. If you talk too much, reprogram your life. You can. Examine yourself. Those things that are in you that are not right, reprogram. There are people who grew up fighting for their rights. When they come into Christ, they keep doing the same thing. You know, there are people who say that they cannot be comfortable in a ministry where they are not free to air their views. See, they've grown up knowing how to air their views. I speak my mind. But in Christ, you don't air your views. You are given a view. You don't air your views. We have to understand that these same people, ask them if they ever were serving juju. Ask them if they aired their views to the native doctor. They never did. But this is because this is Satan's way of destroying them. They want to air their views. And when they can't air their views, they feel uncomfortable. I can't be here. I have my own view. I have my own way. You can't air your views. You didn't come to Christ to air your views. You have no views. You have no opinions. The truth is revealed. And it is complete. You can't change it. It's this way. So, but that, you know, they're just that way. That's the way they've grown up, and they think that in Christ there's freedom of speech. It's not freedom of speech. You are only free to live according to His word. You are free to air His views, not your views. You cannot air your views. You air His views. He has given you His views. Air His views. I tell people that's one reason I do not accept invitations for interviews by media people and so on. They want to talk to me about the government. They want me to say something about the political situation. They have all kinds of things they want me to talk about. What are your views on? I have views, but I have no right to air them. I can air His views. If I were to air my personal views on what should be done to certain people, you'd be surprised at the views I have. But I can't air them. See? When you become a minister of the gospel, you have a new responsibility. You know what's called a love slave. You are a love slave to Jesus Christ. You have views, but you cannot air them. Can you see that? Your life has changed. He runs your life. I mean, He literally runs your life. You have yielded your all to Him. There are places I want to go. I can't go. Not because I don't want to go there. There are places I would just love to go. But I tell people my boss may not permit. When he says to go, I will. If he doesn't, I can't move. I wouldn't be here except that I know that this is what I should be doing. But you see, we have not all matured to that level. So there are people who just run their lives according to their own plan. You know, they want to have a nice time. I can't have a nice time anymore. My nice time is what he has asked me to do. I better enjoy it. If I want to leave, I better enjoy it. I just better enjoy it. I've resigned myself to his will. I just have to enjoy what he tells me to do and stay that way. I can look at someone else and wish, wow, great. That's fantastic. You enjoy that? Great. I wish I could, but I can't. See, that's bondage. Yes. To him. If it's to him, then no problem. What do you mean by Lord? Do you know the meaning of Lord? You call him Lord. That means master. For some, they would rather have the synonym caretaker or bread provider, which he is. But he's more than that. He's master, he's boss, he's ruler. You can't move except he says so. When people talk, there are people who just wake up one morning and say, look, I'm moving to the other city. Great, fantastic. I thank God for your life. If he can let you, I can't do that without him asking me, where are you going? I can't do that. I can't do that. A few months ago, the Lord was talking to me and he said, many men live in vain. They labor in vain. They live for nothing. For nothing. Why would you want to live your life for nothing? Why would you choose to live your life for nothing? Why would you choose to struggle in vain? Why? Of what use would it be for you? To do everything you want to do for yourself and at the end to lose everything. Find some Christians like that because they're immature. They've not been brought up in the things of God. They have had 6, 7, 8, 10 jobs in 1 year and they laugh about it. I mean, they just keep moving. There's a better opportunity there, they move over there, and then that one winds up, folds up, and they say, okay, I moved to that. They just keep moving. You know, they're just like that. The instability in their lives has become fun. So they have decided to believe that they can't be comfortable in anything for too long. They say, well, when I stay in something for 2 years, I'm fed up. I want to do something new. They think that's been adventurous. No, there is the satanic life that is revealing itself in them. Satan said he's moving to and fro all over the place. You see, when God is in you, there is a stability in your life. Why has this God not directed you to the right place all this time? You keep going like this, like this, like this, like this. 10 jobs in 1 year. There can be some stability. Why do you move around for nothing? Can't you just go straight to the place you should be? Can't you just know the place? Is this the way the prophets lived? Is this the way the apostles lived? Is this the way the great men that God raised? Is it the way they lived? Were they like this? But we love to be nomads. So I'm just asking you to search yourself. get rid of the wrong things. Get rid of them. Examine yourself. Get rid of the wrong things. And then when you are reading a good book that you change your life, that's when you fall asleep. When you're studying the scriptures, that's when you sleep. You watch video, all kinds of videos. You can watch films, you can watch all these things and be very much awake. And talk with friends about nasty things and be awake. But when you're reading a good book, you fall asleep. You're studying the Bible, you fall asleep. When you're praying, you fall asleep. When you're listening to the word of God like this, you fall asleep. Those are the times you sleep. Meanwhile, you can keep late nights without doing anything serious. Why are you like this? I'm asking you, why? I'm talking to somebody. Why are you like this? Maybe you should title the message, "Why are you like this?" I'm wanting to know, why? You know, over the years, I've learned to use my adversaries or critics as part of confirmation of the correctness of my actions. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. I said, over the years, I've learned to use them as part of the confirmation of the correctness of my actions. Because I look at the life of this adversary or critic, and I can't find anything admirable. So I said, who wants to be like you? I don't want to. If you were right and I was wrong, I better ask God for another direction. Because it'd be terrible to be like you. All right, just give them a little time and see. You have them in every local assembly. They're there. They are the ones who want to correct the pastor. They are not happy with the actions of the pastor. They are not happy with what he said. They are grumbling. "You said that thing about me. I was not happy you said this. I didn't like the way you put it. Oh, you are trying to disgrace me." All these kind of people. Or those even going behind to be talking to brethren and trying to stir them up against you. No, when you are in a young church, you will surely have them. In a church like ours, for example, they can't have a chance. They had a chance years ago, not now. Because you know, as you grow, God will strengthen your legs. You understand what I mean? When he has strengthened you firmly, you tell that fellow, "Get out." And you'll not be moved. Go, say, "Don't come back here, go." That's the right time for the pastor to tell him, "I came here before you." But the Bible says that the Spirit of God is ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See? You have to be obedient. You have to learn to be obedient. See? Little instructions that you are given. The things that have destroyed men have never been great. They've always been very little. It's always been that little thing you were asked to do, or that you were asked not to do, that was the problem. Do you know that you learn to follow the Holy Spirit by learning to follow a man? Do you know that? That's the way you learn to follow the Holy Spirit. That's the way you learn to follow the Holy Spirit. Simple things he tells you. If you can't listen to them, if you can't follow them, don't have your own way. If there's something you're not quite sure of, call up a senior minister among you and ask a question. Because you want to grow, you know that you want to grow. And growth here has to do first spiritually, and then everything else about you. I believe I should grow in a holistic manner. I believe I should live a balanced life, and I do. It's got to be balanced. Can I ask you a question? Have you submitted your report? It's a question. That simple thing. That simple thing will tell whether you are ready for your calling or not. Very simple thing. Very simple thing. We send out a form to the deacons and deaconesses. This evening, I believe many of them will be here for them to give account of the life they have lived. That is actually to report the things they did. All right? This year, from last November, when we had a conference to this time, then we have the ones for the pastors as well, and the ones for the campus leaders. I'm expecting to look through. And of course, the international pastors, we expect you to submit yours to the international office. And I'm hoping to get them too. My question, because I've only asked the SecGen that, I hope all the reports have come in. It's tomorrow I want to look at these reports. But in my mind, I'm wondering, have you actually done what you were asked to do? Or did you think that the report was not necessary? Or you're going to give it orally? Or you're going to start writing it here? If it's the one for the forms that you were asked to fill, at least fill those forms. But if you were not given the form, don't ask for it now. It means that your report should have come in another way. Listen, brothers and sisters, if we didn't have reports from men of God as God asked them to put down, do you think we would have this thing? When they were writing, they didn't know that it was going to turn into a Bible. So anyway, I'm expecting to see that by tomorrow, and then I will know whether or not you have actually been very obedient. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that God looks on the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. He expects us to handle the sayings of the ministry with godly reverence. Godly reverence. See? Godly reverence. As you are growing, you become more humble. That is a mark of growth. You become more humble because you see God more. You see Him more. I don't know if we have some teachings on I haven't really finished that series. I hope to continue, but you know, as always, sometimes you see the necessity to make a detour at a particular time and change things. I was teaching them on the Sermon on the Mount, right? And I read Matthew chapter 5 and the verse number, let me just read that part of it to you. Matthew chapter 5, are you ready? Ready, 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 ready. From verse 1. If you don't know where Matthew is, turn to the table of contents. From verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Hallelujah. The Jehovah's Witnesses love that verse. I'll tell you why some other time. But don't believe them. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, praise God, forevermore. If you're hungry for the things of God, he says, watch out, you're going to be filled. Amen. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Some people are not merciful. So God means here, they will not obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I like that. The pure in heart sees God in everything. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The pure in heart. He can't think like, why the pastor say that against me? You know, when you preach in church and somebody's offended, if he's pure of heart, he would not say it that way. He says God in everything. He doesn't say, pastor's against me. He says, God is correcting me. God is talking to me. That's the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, when you relate that, try and get that tape. It'll help you. It'll bless you because all of this is explained in the light of the epistles. You'll love it. Helen says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And he's not talking about the fellow who came to separate the fight. He's dealing with covenants. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It means blessed are those who are persecuted for doing right. When you do right, when you say something right in the office and others are offended that you told the truth, he says, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He says, rejoice. This is something some of us don't want. But some of us have been baptized in it one time or the other. It says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, because of what I told you to do. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I understand that some of you are, I was given a report. I understand some pastors are not very good to their word. Especially when it comes to money, in their business, in dealing with other people. Because some of you, you hold a job and you're pastoring, you know. Maybe you own a business and you're pastoring. I understand that some of you are not quite dependable when it comes to money. That's not good. That's not right. If you come to that point where they can't trust you with money, how then are you a minister? Could someone give you money to keep and find the money again? I know some of you are just thinking right now, that's not me. You might even help to look around for who the culprits are. But let me bring it down a little. Have you sold tapes and books and spent the money? It makes you the same. Can you see it? It's very easy. The tapes and the books that were sent to you, and after the sales, and you spend the money, you're just like the guy who did the same thing outside. Someone gave him money to keep, and he spent it. Why am I showing you these things? The life you're living today is the test for tomorrow. See, it is the test for tomorrow. It is the test of faithfulness for tomorrow. I had the opportunity to keep millions of naira for someone else. I returned the money with interest. You should understand this. God, He will give you opportunities to be tested. Can He count on you? There will be many opportunities to be tested. The life you're living today, it's what determines what tomorrow will be. You make pledges, what you don't pay, you don't keep. Listen to me and hear me good. No matter how powerfully you preach, these are the things that will show whether you will go far or not. That's why I'm talking to you about them. You may be a great preacher, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost moves in your life tremendously. These things will tell whether that's going to be for long or not. There are ministers you're hearing of today, they will end up in prison. You will see it. Some have ended up that way. Some are still going there. Not for prison ministration. Even though they'll be forced to take up that responsibility then. But because of their criminal tendencies. They have criminal tendencies, which they will not change. Can God trust you? He's already proving you. But little things here and there, He's proving you. He proves you with many things, I'm telling you. He proves you with many things. He proves you with many things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, He proves you with many things. You have to watch this, your mouth. Watch it. The things that come out of your mouth. You must have, this is a gate. This gate must be controlled. If your heart will pump out the wrong things, at least when the things get to the gate, let the gate refuse to open. It's better that you were infuriated, angry, you almost spoke, but the thing got here and stopped. It's better. Because when you let those words out of your gate, you will never get them back in there. They will go out and represent you. Even in honor, see, when you do honor to others, honor. Do you realize that the honor you do to a minister who is senior to you, you're doing it to God. Do you know that? You can do him honor and you can do him dishonor. See, why is it that many churches in the West, in Europe, in America, why is it that a lot of them, are not doing well spiritually? I'll tell you. It's very simple. See, God has never changed his standards. He has never changed his word. Can you imagine? In Europe, the largest churches are pastored by non-Europeans. Can you see that? In America, the largest ministries are headed by those who have a second nationality that actually came from somewhere else. They say all Americans are immigrants. Yes, but we're talking about those who came recently, not through their fathers, but they themselves moved over there. Why? Because they have something about them that God cannot use. So he has to bring someone from outside to challenge them. What is this thing that is inside them? It's called dishonor. Imagine this young guy who wants to call his 40 or even 50. He wants to call Oral Roberts by his first name. Hi. A whole prophet of God with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the way he moves with him. He tells him hi. Hi to the prophet. Say that to Elisha and see if you will get home. No, read the Bible. Try it on Elijah. See, these prophets of old who are already with the Father, they watch from the grandstands. Some of them are infuriated by what they see. And I can imagine Elijah saying they wouldn't have dared that. Someone said, "Man of God, come down." He said, "If I'm a man of God," because he didn't like the way the man said it. He should have said it with respect. He said, "If I'm a man of God, may fire come out of heaven, consume you and your soldiers." All 51 of them were burnt up. The one he spared was the one, this was the third batch. He said, "Have mercy on me, thou man of God. Spare my life and the lives of these men." He said, "Okay." He came down. This is the reason many of them are living lives that are out of joint. This is their problem. This is why they're producing children that go away from home. The marriage is dissolved. The children are scattered. They can't stay in the church. The young people are running up. Everything is just upside down. Until God brings someone from outside to stir them up. To teach them the way. Because you cannot use your culture to teach the gospel. He seeks to reculture you. You cannot use your culture to look at God. He wants to reculture you. He says he had made the word of God of none effect by your traditions. Don't learn their ways. Look at the more matured ones. They don't do it. Kenneth Copeland will not call Papa Hagin Kenneth. And he will not dare say hi. I know what I'm talking about. He wouldn't do that. Go find out. The more mature ones know how to give respect. Even Benny Hinn will call Oral Roberts Doc for Doctor. He can't call him Oral, except he's talking to someone else. I saw Oral yesterday. But he can't call him and say, Oral, is he mad? See, there's something about the anointing of God that you recognize. You see, that when the Spirit, Bible says deep collect, you see, there's a way the Spirit in you can recognize the Spirit in another man. See? And when you recognize that Spirit, and you honor the power of that Spirit in that man whom God has made greater than yourself in the Spirit in you will respect and honor that one. But when you don't know those things, you think you are being civilized. But you are being devilized. That is the thing that's destroying many today. Instead of being cultured from this book, the largest churches in the world are in Asia and Africa. Because these are the two places where they still have regard, where they still honor elders, whether they are spiritual or the physical. Do you know that there's a way you can greet some people in Europe, they wouldn't answer you? I've greeted some like that. They didn't answer. Good morning. They acted like they didn't hear. Until you said hi. They said hi. You say good morning. They're looking at you as if you haven't said anything. They ignore you. These are the children of bondage, scattered abroad. A wasted generation. I feel sorry for them. They are the blind guides of the blind. With eyes as though they see, but completely blind. Groping in the dark. Make up your mind not to go in that direction. It will not help you. It will not help you. Your ability to recognize the power and the presence of God is your secret. Is your secret to greatness. Your ability to recognize the power and the presence of God is your secret to greatness. How do you catch the anointing? You don't catch it through prayer. You don't catch it through listening to the tapes. You don't. It's more than that. All of that will be there. But anybody, if that were enough, anybody will catch it. But there's more. Praise the Lord. Tell you something. A minister that the Lord has placed over you, that you have the tendency to dishonor. Are you hearing me? That you have the tendency, I said tendency, to dishonor. The only way to deliver yourself is by sacrifice. I'll show you how. Yet it's very costly. Because if he did know, he could frustrate it. Bible says Israel was delivered by a prophet. They didn't say Israel was delivered by God. He says by a prophet. He delivered them through a prophet. Does it mean you are a satellite church pastor in worry? Or, yeah, something like that. You have pastory over there. Even the pastor in Sapele is senior to you by reason of the responsibility given to him. If I'm a satellite church pastor in worry, and you have this tendency to dishonor the pastor, first of all, hope and pray that he doesn't know. Because if he knows, it'll be very unprofitable for you. Which means it'll be harder. Which means you don't only need God's forgiveness, you now need his forgiveness. And if he holds it against you, it is held against you. Do you know if someone holds something against you, that thing is held against you. He may have problem with God for keeping that thing, but God cannot go beyond him and let you go. That's the way God is. God will be talking to him about unforgiveness, but God cannot let you go free from what he has not released you from. What do you do? You will take to him a sacrificial offering. Hear me. Hear. Listen to this. It's so important. I said sacrificial. Why? Because it must be something that humbles you. And when you get there, the truth is this. Do you know he may not take it from you? And he knows that if he doesn't take it from you, that keeps you in trouble. He knows that taking it from you will release you. He knows that as sure as heaven is, you will go through problems in your life for what you're doing. For the wrong things you're doing. He may never discuss it. He's not angry. But he says to himself, you're not doing it against me, you're doing it against God, because God sent me. That's all. So he allows you to keep misbehaving. So here is your gift, and he doesn't take it. Or he collects it from you as a formality and puts it there, but he would not say the prayer he needs to say. Look, don't take spiritual things lightly. This is the destruction of many people. Abraham and his wife Sarah found themselves in the house of Abimelech, because Abimelech saw his wife and took her, and he had said, she's my sister. Anyway, Abimelech took Sarah, and God showed up in Abimelech's room and said, restore that man his wife quickly. Abimelech said, Lord, I didn't know she was his wife. He told me she was his sister. God said, yes. That's why I didn't kill you. He said, I did this in the integrity of my heart. God said, yes, that was why I restrained you from sinning against me. He said, now, restore that man. He said, know this, if you don't restore her to the man, he said, you die. I'm going to kill you. He said this to Abimelech. He said, I'll kill you. Now, that was not all. The Bible tells us, now, all this time, Abraham didn't know what was going on. The guy was just having his sleep. Now, while God was talking to Abimelech, the angels had already taken over the whole compound and shot the womb of every man and beast. Everyone became barren. Judgment was already in the house of Abimelech for this thing. Then God in his mercy said to Abimelech, now, he said, get that man his wife and go to him and ask him to pray for you. Because he is a prophet. So, he gave Abimelech his wife. He didn't stop there. Sorry, he gave Abraham his wife. And then he gave him lots of gifts and asked for prayer. Then, Abraham prayed for him. The Bible says, and God healed. You see that? He healed him and healed everybody in the house. He had already shut up their wombs. There are people who will never have children because of the sins of their mothers, the sins of their fathers, and their own sins. Little stupid words spoken against one man of God or the other from, you know, be very careful of your mouth. There are people who will never see their children grow up. Sadness is their lot. Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This thing we're into is not meat and drink. But a life of doing right. Peace. And then the joy of the spirit, not the joy of the senses. There are things that lots of God's children are yet to understand because they are, you know, ignorance is the bane of most of the church world today. But if you decide you want to learn, you want to know, then God will guide you. See, He'll guide you. One of the things that God has helped me with is not to find myself clashing with people that he raised or called. God didn't say someone will not be against you from behind. But anybody that he has actually placed over you or given a greater unction than yourself for the time being, because it depends on what God wants that person to do and at what period in history. If you now go and clash with such people, your sentence is passed. Look at the three sons of Noah. The gentleman found himself nude. And he was naked before his son. What happened? He went and told it. Instead of covering it. He went and told it. the wiser one took a cloth and moved backwards and covered his father's nakedness and was blessed. The one who went to tell it was cursed. That's what it's all about. You don't expose your father's nakedness. It's like someone, you see, where Pastor Chris is missing it, and you're a member of this ministry, you are finished. Very finished. Very, very. These are things that people don't understand. There are things I hear about certain men of God, I won't say anything. There are things I would know and I would not say anything. For this reason. But here's a guy who doesn't even know anything. See, the problem with Pastor Toyo is you. You know the problem with Pastor Toyo. I don't believe he fasts. I don't believe he fasts. He can have that size. I don't think he fasts. You. What do you expect the angels who attend Pastor Toyo to be doing? Smiling at you. They are senior to the angels that go with you. Maybe you don't understand. Go and check in the Bible. Angels have ranks. When you are promoted in the spirit, a more senior angel is assigned to you because of your responsibility. You see, some people, Paul said, he said, some of you have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. It is the problem of many Christians, ignorance of the word. They love to preach. They preach nice. The many things they like to do, but they do not study the word of God for themselves to grow, to develop, to become strengthened in the kingdom. I mostly study the Bible for my personal growth. And you know the funny thing, the more I study the word of God, the more I find that, my goodness, there's so much I don't know. Sometimes I say, oh Lord, how am I going to do this thing? There's so much I don't know. How fast can I go? So the angels that go with him, who are senior to the angels that go with you, who begin to torment you, now your angels cannot refuse. They give the way because a senior angel has come. Same punishment to you. What does the Bible say? That for this cause, a woman should have power over her head. It says, because of the angels. Because of the angels. What's the man teaching? Go to the Old Testament and start reading about angels. You see why Paul said that? These angels don't take authority lightly. They move in one direction only, and that is the direction of the word that has been given to them already. Angels, God's angels cannot be fighting themselves. So when you begin to act funny, your angels will allow the punishment that is being meted out to you from senior angels to take place. Because they too are offended at what you're doing. But you see, how do they punish you? I'll tell you how. They frustrate things in your life. So some of the problems certain people have in their lives, in their families, in their jobs, in their finances, are not caused by the devil. They're caused by God. This money that just won't come. God knows that if he were to, imagine, you don't even have so much money, and see the way you are insulting your elders. What if you should have? Then you call evangelist or and say, come and see me. The money you should have given into the gospel will now become your destruction. You know, that's what happens to some people. They're in some churches, they feel that they can ride over the pastor because they, and when they give for something, they want to see to it that the pastor has spent it on what he was supposed to spend it for. In fact, they will write what he should use the money for. This is a special seed. You want to make sure it's used for the fans of the church. Okay, what if we choose that we don't want the fans right now? Will you collect the money back? Some would. Because you don't want the pastor to use it to eat. Or to use it to buy something. Or, you know. It's crazy. This is the reason you must watch yourself. You watch yourself. Watch yourself. Tell somebody, watch yourself. He didn't say it well. Can you imagine this small thing I told you to do now? Some didn't really do it. No, why are you like this? Hallelujah. You're going to have some rest and then we'll begin the evening session about 7:30. Is it 7:30? Yeah, 7:30. I believe it's 5:30 now, is it? Something close to that. Maybe just a little after. I hope that so far you've been blessed since you came. I hope that the word of God has stirred you up. So there are two groups of people I plan to see. I would want to, maybe tomorrow, I will try to find some time for those of you who are married. I would like to have you present. I'll talk to you and your spouse. And then I also want to see the student leaders, because these two groups can have peculiar problems. So that's why I want to see you and talk with you. Somebody's asking, what about if you're about to get married? Don't come. That means next year. Praise God. Any question? Okay, listen. Yeah, the microphone for you.
About the issue of authority, sir.
You're so smartly dressed. I feel like taking a picture of you.
Thank you, sir. A pastor and his family in the flesh, about the issue of despising and him respecting them as people over him in the flesh, and they give me honor to him as a man of God too. For example, I and Pastor Chika, we went to see one of my brothers, and they saw me say, Joe, Joe. And Pastor Chika told them, say, Pastor Joe, give honor to whom honor is due. And there was a disagreement between them. We respect them as above. Yeah. I really want to know the balance, sir.
You see, the fellow is ignorant. He's doing something that is capable. You see, if you have someone to teach you the right way, you are blessed. You are fortunate. The man who is for destruction is a man that has no one to teach him, to show him the good and the right way. You don't know. There are things I just mentioned to you that you may not see in any book. And you may not immediately pick them out of the Bible. You may be ignorant of them. But God doesn't see it that way. He actually told us, my people perish for lack of knowledge. He didn't say because of lack of knowledge, let them be kept out of trouble. No. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. That guy is doing something that could destroy him. Let me tell you. A man of God does not have mother. He doesn't have father. He has no younger brother. He has no younger sister. He has no older brother. He has no older sister. You don't understand this thing. He doesn't have. He doesn't have wife. He doesn't have husband. He is neither male nor female. You have to understand, when you are operating as a man of God, and when you are an ordinary man, when God calls you and anoints you, if it is true that you are a man of God, then your spouse needs to recognize that. It's so important. And that's one of the reasons I want to see you. Because sometimes we don't know why we have frustrations in our lives. And there are more to come. Because we misunderstand the scriptures. Study the Bible. You shouldn't say anything. Because it may cause more trouble. If they had someone to teach them the right thing, great for them. But if you were to say anything, it could even be taken further against you, which will lead to faster destruction. Find out. That person is calling him Jojo. Find out how blessed he is. Find out his life. This guy will not. I can tell you that this guy cannot. Jacob said to Reuben, unstable as water, you shall not excel. But he was the firstborn. But I've just told you about that guy. I said, if he falls sick today, he cannot be healed. No prayer will save him. If there's anything you have to do, you start interceding for him. Start praying for him. Interceding for him. Oh God, have mercy on his ignorance. Lord, have mercy on his ignorance. You can start praying that. And the faster you start praying it, the better actually. Start praying for him. Oh God, have mercy on his ignorance. God doesn't take those things lightly. He doesn't. He doesn't. That's the best way to cut your life short. Or to bring death into your business or into your finances, and that fellow just keeps suffering and suffering. He says, touch not my anointed. Don't touch them with your mouth. Don't touch them with your words. Don't touch them through the media. Don't touch them. To my prophets, no harm. So when you have relatives like that, sometimes it's better to avoid the nonsense they do so that they don't bring a curse upon themselves. But like I said, according to the Bible, says he's ready to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, you want God to work on your behalf, treat his word seriously. Act wisely. And he will act jealously over you. Jealously over you. Amen. But you know what? The one who despises the things of God, the word of God, even among ministers, he says, they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I watched a man of God on the television some time back, several months ago. And he was talking about, the things he said were correct, scripturally sound. But as they called him up on the phone, because it was a calling program, as they did, they insulted him. They were asking him questions and they were angry with him. Somebody said, hello, hello. He said, I want to talk to that guy. He said, who do you want to talk to? The moderator said, who do you want to talk to? He said, I want to talk to that guy, that guy there, the preacher. And I knew this fellow. The scripture that came to me was, they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. That's his lot. He will speak what is right. But the aural that covers a minister of God will not be there. He will say what is right. He will do what is right. Even a miracle will take place. But others will look narrowly at him. And he will not be regarded. That's his lot. You say, why is he like that? That is the lot. That is what he has settled for. Because of his behavior. Another guy. There's much more I could have said about that, but I won't, not today. That's the thing he'll keep experiencing, and we wonder why. He will do good, but many others, those to whom he will do them, will turn against him. Why should your life that should be sweet become bitter? All because you will not act in the right way. See, the thing about these kind of judgments is that sometimes they are sudden. Some other times, they just keep coming. They just keep coming. When you start engaging in major things, the disappointment starts showing. You invest and it is lost. That's the first sign. You start making big king-size errors. You'll be wondering why. King-size errors will be taking place in your family. Big time mistakes that will make you look like a fool. Meanwhile, you made a wise decision. Be careful in your life. This thing we're into is very serious. So if you think you just entered the ministry for meat and drink, you are joking. Hallelujah. Jesus said about Judas Iscariot, said it would have been better if you were not born. Why? Because he was angry? No! Because he said, the one who is eating with me at the table has raised his heel against me. This was communion. And he served the communion. And Judas took. He drank. He broke that bread with Jesus and drank the cup and went away to betray him. Jesus said, I'm sorry for you. It would have been better if you were never born. If the man had not taken that communion, it would have not been as bad as that. But having taken the communion and gone out to declare himself his enemy, the sentence is death. And because the blood of Jesus is divine, there could only be eternal death. Why do you think Paul says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God? Let's pray. We've got to close now.
The message you've just heard was produced by the Lovell Tape Ministry. For more information, please contact Lovell Tape Ministry. Post office number 13563. Email address CEC.